We are going on a road trip.
Who's with me?
Woo! Can you dig it?
We're on a mission from God.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Let's go!
Hey, I'm Brian Duffy.
And I'm Russell Davis.
And this is Road Rash. What is Road Rash? Road Rash is Russell Davis and Brian Duffy traveling around the world, something we've done for the last couple of years, so much so that people are dying to know what some of our experiences are. Two guys who literally live life to the fullest. You can't beat this. You can't get past this.
Guys, come out, eat, drink, travel with us. Every episode, including this week, we're going to have special guests.
Every Tuesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard.
From a different location around the world.
Don't be a rash hole. Get your devices ready.
Come on out, all you rash holes. Every Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard.
Hey, I'm Brian Duffy.
And I'm Russell Davis.
We're going to eat,
drink,
and travel. This is Road Rash.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to the Road Rash Podcast. I'm not going to talk about what episode this is because we talk about it every episode, and it's just another one. But right now, I am sitting at the exhibitor booth for Hot Mixology at the Nightclub and Bar Show in Las Vegas, 2016. This is a huge show, guys, and Duffy and I are Road Rash.
Hello.
So, just to let y'all know, this is going to be a quick show. We've got a really, really cool guest. This guy has literally sits at a computer in his cubicle and has made a name for himself as the exploding unicorn?
Exploded unicorn.
So, Mr. James Breakwell has been on the show today, and we're going to introduce him. You're going to see some of our clips from Nightclub and Bar Show. The next two, three episodes, we'll have some Nightclub and Bar Show content. We love you all. Duffy?
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say before we break him into the podcast?
Yeah, I was out way too late last night. I'm tired.
Duffy had one too many Duffs. And by the way, if you're not drinking a Duff, you're a moron. Grey Goose, soda, lime. How many olives?
Three olives.
Boys and girls, welcome to the Road Rash Podcast. Duffy and I are Road Rashed. Ladies and gentlemen,
boys and girls,
this is Russell Davis
and Brian Duffy.
And we are at the Nightclub and Bar Show in Las Vegas. Mr. Duffy, how are you doing, sir?
Not too shabby, my brother. We are walking the belly of the beast at Nightclub and Bar. It's not open to the public yet, but we did our sessions today. Mine was about updating your outdated bar menu. Yours?
We did the Meet the Experts panel, and I've been walking around meeting with some clients and got some more stuff going on Wednesday. I'll be doing a conference on keeping it simple. But by the way, man, dude, we're like literally like walking around the convention on our phones recording. This is the first time we've done this.
I know. I like it like this. It's kind of fun.
We're actually walking in the wrong direction now.
Yeah, we are. We're going the wrong way.
So we are actually here day one. The Nightclub and Bar Show. This is Monday, and the exhibit hall doesn't open up till tomorrow. So Duffy and I are about to sleep.
Yes. So there's a boatload of people here. We had a great bunch of people at our forum this morning. We got to talk with Nancy Hadley. We got to talk with Brad Bohannon. You guys know Brad because he was on our second episode of Road Rash Podcast. But now we're just in Vegas. So I went out last night. And did you go out?
I went to the Michael Jackson one time.
What?
The Cirque du Soleil.
I did a Hakkasan.
Uh-huh.
I had dinner at a Kraft Steak,
which
wasn't bad. Wasn't great, wasn't bad. Tom Colicchio's place.
Bam.
And I had a good time, though. I left early. Yeah. I went home at 1:15.
Yep.
I woke up at 5:30 this morning.
Which is saying a lot. If you can get into bed before 3 a.m.
In Vegas,
it means something.
Yeah. But I kept counting the fact because I always keep my watch on home time, so I knew what time home was. I always have my watch on home time. So that way I know when to call the girls and when not to. Girls being mine, not randoms.
So have you been doing your Tindering out here in Vegas since you've been here?
You know, no. No. You know what? Honestly, the reason why is because I don't know if they're hookers or not. With my luck, they'll all be hookers.
That's the beauty of Vegas. You just ask them.
Oh, I know, but they're on Tinder, and I don't know what's going on. So, I'm not doing Tinder out here. Look, for those who care, I literally do Tinder because it's a joke. It's a riot. I reach out to people. I send messages if they like the stuff. Nobody replies back, man. I think I just suck at this.
At Tinder? Or just...
At Tinder.
Like dating.
I'm 44, Russell. Do I have to date? Is it really that? Do I have to date?
Well, no. No, absolutely not. And on top of it all, you are a hero. Young 44-year-old.
No. That's a given. I totally am. I do.
I've never met an Irish stallion before, but you're an Irish stallion.
And there's no Irish porn stars. I've looked into it, and there really are none that I know of. What's up, brother? How are you?
So here's a really interesting guy. Duffy and I have passes, and what you're about to witness right now is us sneak onto the floor before it opens one day beforehand.
Yeah, we actually have to go over and see Dave Elgin.
Yep, Elgin.
So that we can Elgin. What did I say? Elgin's in Illinois.
Yeah, Elgin's where the sausage is made in Texas.
Yes. So we have to go over and chat with Dave.
Yep.
Because he wants to do some stuff for tomorrow. So we may have to go to the end first.
Well, actually, that's where I was going to sneak us into.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, he should be right at the end.
We'll go sit on the bus.
So one of the cool parts about this is to get to see everything ahead of time. So there's a lot of really cool stuff that happens on the floor. There's some pretty awesome people that are on the floor and all that good stuff. So
watch this. So I'm about to work the security.
Okay, go for it. Russell's going to work it. So where did Dave go?
We're actually on the bus.
Turn my badge over. There you go.
And we're recording a podcast. Literally
no,
right
you
now,
can't come in until tomorrow at 12 o'clock.
Okay.
So I've been actually walking in and out, and we are recording.
You got a badge?
No. Yeah, we're with Dave. Oh,
we're literally with Dave.
Give me one
second. I'm sorry.
They'll give you
cool. So, yeah, so Dave Elger's over there. He's an awesome dude. He does a show called Hot Mixology, which is pretty cool. He owns Muchote Tequila, which is good.
By the way, owning a tequila or any agave spirit for the past couple of years has been really, really tough with cartel stuff going on,
dude.
Some distributor stuff going on. So it's not easy to have a tequila brand these days. So
no, he's had it for a while. Him and his brother Will have had one for a long time. And is he over there? I don't even see him. I don't even see what's going on. Hold on. Russell's in the middle of chatting.
Yeah.
Am I doing?
Give me one.
I got to Russell stepping away. So Dave is a pretty cool dude, and I like what Russell had to say about the tequila stuff. It's kind of funny. We're literally just walking around the floor. They're really crazy. They're really crazy over here because security is so tight because of the fact that they don't want to have anything getting out ahead of time. So right now, some of the stuff that I see, I'm looking at a Ciroc. I've got a Jevo automated gelatin shot maker. I've got Revention. We've got Buzz Time. We've got Schwank. We've got Miller Coors that's over here. Harbor Touch, Liquid, Partender. All that good stuff. Are we good? Hey, how are you, man? Thanks, brother.
Yep.
I appreciate it. So, Russell's pretty fucking good, dude. Nice job, man. Nice job, dude. I follow the rules. What'd you say? What did you say?
I told him we were important.
Oh, I like that. Is Dave even over here? He was supposed to put Duffified on there at one point. I love the fact that he drives this shit in. We got to get pictures of this, too. He drives this shit in here from Denver. And the bus is like a big, fat bar bus with a boatload of fun on it.
Have you been inside?
Hell yeah.
It feels like Bang Bus, guys.
Yeah, it totally does. It feels like Bang Bus. Yeah. If you've never seen Bang Bus, Google it.
I love how we're walking on another production set about to produce something else.
Yeah, exactly.
Any kind of warning.
Nothing. Exactly. What's up, brother? Is Dave back here?
Yeah, he is.
Good, good. Big Dave. Here we go. Motherfucker!
Oh, so by the way, boys and girls,
we're here
recording for the Road Rash.
So we're recording right for Road Rash. Say hi, Dave.
Hey, everybody. How are you from Nightclub and Bar Show 2016?
Hey, welcome to Nightclub and Bar Show.
Who are you?
This is Dylan Holcomb speaking. House mixologist for Hot Mixology.
Awesome. There we go. Muchote. Dude, I still have my bottle that you signed for me.
You still have your bottle I signed for you. Muchote tequila, 100% Reposado tequila. Hey, Will. Come over here real quick. My twin brother.
I didn't know he was here.
The whole family's here. What's up, brother?
How you been,
man? It's good to see you.
They're recording for their podcast.
How's it going? Nice. How's the podcast going?
Oh, here we go.
Muchote's back on the market. You can get it at High Time Liquor. You want to know where to get it? You want to know?
I heard High Time.
High Time. Buy it by the bottle. Buy it by the case.
I heard High Time.
It's still a great tequila at a great price.
All right, beautiful.
Super premium.
Reposado.
It's aged 7 months.
In Jack Daniel's barrels.
There we go.
It's about under $30 a bottle.
Under $30? Are you crazy?
I am crazy.
The twins are fighting it out.
Okay, I guess.
They're fighting it out.
Ow! So, wait. So what do you feel like makes this tequila different than everything else in that same price point.
Passion.
Number one, there's nothing else in that same price point.
Say hi.
Hello.
That was our whole idea with this. It was creating a super premium tequila at a great price. So we used a traditional paper label, simple bottle. You know,
I like the
simple
bottle.
Cap. Very simple. Put everything into the tequila. So
beautiful.
Everything
with that.
Absolutely. everything we do. Goes
shots
into,
across the
goes
board.
Into the tequila.
Hanging outside
nothing
the bang
the,
bus.
Nothing into the packaging.
It's like what it looks like, just with booze on the outside. All right, we're doing shots of tequila
way,
right now.
Everybody's really nervous about the way we're recording, but this will work, guys.
We're hoping it's going to work. Yeah, our editor is like.
Those are big shots, but you can take a little. Yeah.
Can we get a picture
then,
of that?
Absolutely.
We got to get pictures of it, man. While we're recording, so I'm good with that recording. We're doing that. We're good. I'm going to take a picture at the same time of what we're.
They're fun to measure. They taste great in the glass, but also in the cup.
Same.
Yeah. Good, dude. Every day is an adventure. It's not just a job. It's a blast.
Every day is an adventure. Okay, so what do you drink, my friend?
Oh, my personal favorite spirits, love rum, love tequila.
Okay, while Russell's doing this, I'm going on the bang bus. Okay, we're going to check it out. Oh, yeah. See, you guys got to come up. There's like a big, he's got an awesome bus. I'm in the inside of it right now. Russell's inventorying. Oh, dude, I thought you were still doing your interview. We're doing shots. We need to, okay, we're doing shots.
We separate.
Oh, that's true. No, it does, because we're recording separately.
Yeah, but then how do you edit that?
Because he edits.
I like
he
that.
He edits it. That's our edit guy.
See how good Machota Tequila is?
Exactly. Cheers.
Drink it, boys.
Oh, shitterino. We need a picture. Somebody's got to take a picture and send it to us.
I poured you gigantic. I poured you Muchote shots.
Muchote.
So,
hey, Brian, picture. I took a mental picture already.
Oh, it's in your head?
Yep.
Okay,
Victoria's
cool.
On it. And it looks pretty.
Whoa. All right.
So,
cool. Dude, I love the Gucci loafers.
Thanks, buddy.
Nice.
Yep.
I'm a big fan.
So we hate to say, I mean, you told us that we could come on the Hot Mixology bus no matter what, so we are totally taking full advantage of that.
We are.
Yeah. Totally walked in, just recording our podcast, not even asking
nice
permission.
Here, huh?
That's roadrashpod.com.
Yeah. Hey, you guys always have carte blanche on a Hot Mixology bus.
Nice. It looks better. I like what you did to it.
That means like free ride on the, yeah.
Right. No, I got you. From Denver to Vegas.
Carte blanche means anytime.
Anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You know, you got carte blanche.
That's a credit card. Is it still available?
No, it means you're okay to get on.
Oh, we're allowed on the bus.
It's a prepaid credit
card. I thought it was a beer.
No, that was Diners Club.
No. But what is carte blanche? Wasn't there, you know, really?
It's a prepaid.
A VIP.
It's a prepaid.
I have a Founders card.
Oh,
you guys know Founders?
Sure.
It's the metal card that does not a fucking thing for you.
Founders?
I paid $549 for a 2-year membership so that I can get nothing.
Is there any new fees you can see?
Awesome.
Where did you
I do. I have a metal card.
I have a metal card. I pay $5 for 2 years. That's what I have.
And it does. So, metal. Founders
it's
Cub, metal. Thanks for talking me
it's
into
magnetic.
Something.
It's magnetic.
It is.
Let's cheers.
Cheers. Launch
cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
All right, boys and girls.
Cheers.
Rock and roll. Here we go.
Guys.
Shots around. Hold on, everybody. Look.
Yeah, like this way,
please. We're taking a picture right now.
Nice.
Wait. One
so the silence in recording is really more just us doing shots and taking pictures. Oh, you gotta get the bottle in there. Don't put it on the back of the big bus. I thought we were getting duffified on there. All right, shots. Cheers, boys.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
boys
guys.
And girls.
Awesome. Thank love you seeing guys. You guys.
Boom, shakalaya.
Oh, that's good shit. And anybody who knows me knows I don't do shots, so.
That's delicious.
Oh, I know you don't. Unless it's semen shots.
So you record it on here, and then how do you...
So we record here, and then we have a guy named Eric, who is our audio engineer. He takes all of our files and puts them together. But this is the first time we've recorded live together, because normally we do it on Skype.
Eric will be cursing you.
So everybody comes in, and I'm actually going to...
He doesn't do shots unless it's semen.
Actually, can we actually...
Is this a live podcast?
It's not live. It's recorded live. So we record Tuesdays.
Can you watch it on YouTube?
Certain parts of it will be. Yeah, like we just did Scotty in from Anthrax last week and Road Rash. It's on my card. Yeah, everything's on there. So, yeah. So.
This is James Breakwell. I'm at Exploding Unicorn on Twitter, and I'm coming to you from Russell Davis and Brian Duffy's podcast, Road Rash.
Hey, what's going on, people?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, this is Russell Davis.
And we are now walking back through the floor of Nightclub and Bar. We're doing a little bit of a rant right now. My rant's going to be a pretty simple one this week because of the fact that I'm in Vegas and I have way too much stuff to deal with. So what we're talking about is pretty simple. Talking about hospitality again, boys and girls. It's why we're in this business. It is one of the biggest parts of what we do. Without the hospitality end of it, all we do is give people food and take their money. And booze. Mm-hmm. And booze. It's important for everybody. Are we going down another aisle?
I figured we'd slow down.
Oh, okay. So one of the things that's most important, why I'm bringing this up, is because I went out to dinner last night and had a pretty good meal. Wasn't bad. Wasn't the best.
You were over at Kraft, right?
I was at Kraft. But one of the things that bothered me was the fact that the waiter who was waiting on us just seemed a little bit too preoccupied the whole night.
And I fucking hate that.
Yeah.
It's like you're not the person that matters.
No, exactly. And we weren't. I mean, we were just three guys that went in for dinner. And I mean, look, dinner was $387. But when my buddy...
How many people?
Three of us. Yeah.
Okay.
So my buddy...
That's actually a good price for Kraft.
It's not bad at all.
Yeah.
And I mean, we didn't have many drinks. I had two Goose and sodas, two yes. Duffs.
There's definitely no Psalm drinks there, right?
No.
No wine drinks.
No. Right? No, my buddy had two Crown and Gingers. And my other buddy is a huge fan of beers. But the weird thing is that the waiter kept taking the beer menu as if he was going to drink the same beer all night. And he even said to him, hey, look, I'm good. Like, I'm happy with what I'm doing. I want to be able to order a couple more drinks. And the guy's like, okay, cool, and took the menu again.
Okay, this is really kind of very interesting. I want to let you get through the craft story, but I've got a little story on hospitality, kind of feeling the same way already. But... Well, I'll dig into it.
Okay.
I was at a winery in Northern California this past weekend, and you know what's interesting about you know, some of these techniques that have been developed by sommeliers and that have been studied for a long time is they're not actually always right.
Right.
Just because they're married into historical accuracy doesn't
right.
make them accurate.
And it's really an art. That is doesn't get a lot of updating,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Especially now.
And so we walked into this winery, and we wanted to taste the sparkling, right? And the gentleman that was, I mean, actually, I'm kind of stretching it by calling him a gentleman.
Hookahs.
Sorry, we just walked by some hookahs. but the gentleman that was doing it, he laid out our champagne flutes and flutes in front of us. And started pouring the sparkling wine into it. And then the lady that I was with, who just so happens to be one of the most knowledgeable wine people that I have ever met, and works with brands and buys and sells for brands, she said, we don't want to taste in the champagne fluke, because that's the flute, because that's not the way that you're supposed to taste champagne. You're actually supposed to pour it into the white wine glass. And then the guy tasting us on it goes, oh, well, we're still gonna do it in the flute. And we're all looking at each other because he almost dismissed us as people that didn't know what we were talking about. But in that moment, our hospitality was giving us what we needed and what we wanted. But he was more stuck by his ego of doing it the way he'd been trained, or what he thought was more better to go that direction. Makes sense?
It absolutely does. It absolutely does. But and what it comes down to is we're all experts in what we do. We're all experts. And sometimes...
In our own heads, we're all experts.
In our own heads, yeah. That's really what I mean. I mean, I'm an expert of a tremendous amount of things, and so is Russell, and so are other people. But I think one of the things that we all have to realize is that we all have different ideas of things. That's why we have multiple bars. That's why we have multiple restaurants and all that good stuff. The key thing for all of this is the fact that, you know what? It all comes down to what the guest wants at that point.
Mm.
I hate to say it, but yeah, there's a certain way to serve things. There's a certain way to do things. But sometimes it's just really about what the guest wants. It's about the hospitality end of the business for what we need to do. You know, like I said last night, my waiter was just almost not annoyed, but it was kind of like we were in his way when he was trying to make money off of other people.
Okay, so give me a specific example.
One, he kept taking the beer menu.
Ooh.
Two, he walked over at one point and said, do you guys want some more bread? And my buddy said, yeah, we'll have some more bread. And then a bus girl came over and said, hey, do you guys want some more bread? Yeah, we'll take some more bread. We actually told our waiter. And then that was it. We never got bread again. Like, it was, don't offer it if you don't plan on doing what you're supposed to do. There was just a bunch of little skips and hiccups.
Have you ever seen Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's this one scene that I love, and I hate to say it, but I used to, it seems like he was like doing all those questions that you automatically just hate. right. or don't want to say no to, or just, you know, whatever. But I, you know, being in the hospitality industry sometimes get monotonous for us. And so I used to always think of these ways that I would entertain myself. And there's this one scene from Forgetting Sarah Marshall, and it's, is it Jason Segel? Is that his name?
Yeah, Jason Segel. I love him.
And he's sitting there, and he's eating off the buffet, and he's got his two plates.
Yeah.
And then Jonah Hill walks up, and he goes to take the two plates, and he goes, can I get this out of your way or whatever? And Jason Segel goes, no, I'm still eating on this one. And Jonah Hill, and I didn't recognize this until the third time of seeing it, but he goes, and he smiles, he looks, and gives a big smile, and he nods, and he goes, well, I'll just go fuck myself then. And he turns around and walks away. And so back in my, like, hardcore bartending days. But the thing is that this was to keep myself amused. But the customer, I don't think, really was affected by it, besides, like, having a little bit more fun. And then maybe it was still fucked up. Let's just be honest. Maybe I'm justifying the fucked up things that I used to do. But I would, like, walk up to that girl that had the full glass of water and be like, can I get you some more water? Knowing she would say no.
Right.
And as soon as she'd say no, I'd be like, well, I'll just go fuck myself then. And you smile, nod,
and you walk away. There you go. Nothing wrong with that. Oh, boy, this is a company called Foreplay Incorporated. Look at that. There you go.
Didn't we do a blow?
Yeah.
No, I know.
We like it. We like it. So basically, here's the deal. This is what it comes down to. Is on my part of this is about the hospitality. Okay? Like, get everybody in place. Get everybody on the same page for what's supposed to be done. And make everybody happy. Okay? It doesn't matter. You've got to get in and you got to do it and have some fun. That's what it comes down to. It's a good industry. And you can have a shitload of fun with it.
Well, but I feel a little different, though. So I feel like hospitality is giving the experience that that person needs in that moment. You know, so kind of like knowing that that person over there might want to be treated like shit right now. You know, kind of like you talk about the bars in Chicago that had the Russian.
Oh yeah, that treats you like shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you want that.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
To me, it's reading the customer.
Yeah,
it's knowing exactly what they want.
I agree. No, I totally agree with you. But it, for my case last night.
Oh yeah.
This was not, I wasn't, you know, well, I thought to myself.
There's an expected level of service at those style places.
Yeah, well, exactly. Especially, you know, when they started the whole thing, and this is another thing, but they started this whole thing with, just so you know, I don't know if you know, we have a TV show, it's called Top Chef.
Like, no, it was, wait. What's
yes,
called?
Top Chef.
I've never heard of it.
Really? Okay. I thought he was serious there. That's because we've been drinking. So, but one of the things was, like, they promoted the TV show at the table, which in reality, like, I'm not a fan of that. Like, let's focus on what we're here for, and let's focus on the project at hand. So, I don't know. Maybe I just don't like to be sold when I go out or talked into things or whatever it is. It's just, I don't know because it's Vegas and I'm kind of tired.
So tired. So you know what, guys? We've given you a little bit of walk around. The next couple of episodes will be a little different than the rest because we're going to be putting in our separate interviews with people. But we've been giving you guys 4.5 long hour podcasts. We've been giving you guys 2-hour podcasts. I think we might give you a short one this time around. How do you feel about that, Dave?
I agree. I think it's going to be a good one because we got a really awesome guest who's with us this week, Mr. James Breakwell.
And he was kick-ass.
He's the exploded unicorn, right?
It was so amazing. And some guy that has, like, created, he's created a brand around himself while sitting in a cubicle and working another job.
Dude, it's the greatest. He literally works a job, and he works his 8-hour shift, but he is, like, 300,000+ followers on Twitter, the whole nine yards, and I started to follow him, and one of the reasons I wanted him on the show is because he was a funny motherfucker, dude. He was really funny. So some of his pictures and stuff that he's posted and all that stuff. So that's why he's on. He's a really funny guy, and I hope you guys are going to enjoy him, but...
We almost got hit by a forklift right now.
Yep, we're breaking union rules. So, but you know, James is awesome. It's Exploded Unicorn on Twitter. He's a pretty funny guy. So
I hope you heard the burp.
Yeah, that's what happens, man. I still have tequila in my hand. I still have a tequila in my hand. So you guys can agree or disagree with whatever we have to say, and we like it when you disagree. So do us a favor and don't forget about us. We are at Road Rash Pod. Don't forget, Mr. Russell Davis.
And Mr. Brian Duffy at RoadRashPod.com. Guys, listen. So our talk on hospitality today, please go to @RoadRashPod and make sure you post what you think hospitality is, because we want to know. We need to know. We are your consultants. We're the guys that are going to be developing the next level of bars and restaurants and nightclubs and hotels for you. Tell us what you feel like hospitality should be.
I agree with everything he just said. So we're good. I still have tequila. Wow, that is a dress and a half up there. That is a dress and a boom shakalaka. So,
ooh, somebody threw up, it looks like.
Okay. Yeah, that's all on the show. That's the way that it works. So, anyway, definitely check it out. Check out this guy right now, James Breakwell, Mr. Exploding Unicorn. See you guys. All right, my friends, here we go. So our guest for this week, episode number 9?
No, it's 10.
10. Dude, that how do we have 10 episodes of this show?
I don't know.
Really? And that's, again, so last week was 9. We'd spent 72,000 hours putting this together. So we're at 72,007 hours right now to put this podcast together. So everybody knows that Russell and I are very, very big into the social media aspect of stuff that we do. We share our lives across the board with what we do. We talk a tremendous amount. We really love all of the followers and all of the fans that we have between our individual brands, as well as the Road Rash brand and all the stuff that happened with Bar Rescue and whatnot. We really have tried to have a boatload of fun. So as we go through, we've gotten to become friends with people that we see on social media. I reach out to everybody who I like. If I like you, I am sending you a message letting you know, especially to get on the podcast. So so over the last couple of weeks, I've been following this guy. His name's James Breakwell, and you can find him on Twitter. And his handle is @, of course, that fancy little @ symbol. And then it's Exploding Unicorn, and that is Xploding. Unicorn, spelled exactly the way it sounds, which is unicorn. So one of the cool things is we send out a questionnaire at the beginning of every week, and we ask our guests to kind of give something. So just so you know, this is James, and it says that his product is a sad attempt at comedy. So James, dude, welcome to the podcast.
Welcome, Mr. Bravo.
Excited to be here.
Awesome, man. So, James, one of the things that I kind of found so intriguing about you is the fact that you have 4 kids, and what are the ages of your kids?
We got a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, a 20-month-old, and she was born November 9th, so I believe a 3-month-old. I hate it when they're in the months, because they constantly change, and I sound like an idiot when I don't know how old they are. You know, you get up to the years, they stay a year the whole time. So
yeah, but the thing is you. I mean, you can be that parent that's so, my child is 64 months old. I mean, you know, I mean, I've met those people, and you know who those people are? They're the same people that treat their dogs and their cats as human beings. Yeah. I have fur.
And they're also the same people that lie about their age when they're getting a little too old.
Yeah, I honestly finally old enough now. I have to do math when I want to figure out how old I am. That makes me feel old.
How old are you?
I'm 30. I did not do math that time. I practiced that.
Whoa, you're 30.
Question.
You're 30 and you got 4 kids.
Yeah. I've made some poor life decisions.
Jesus Christ.
Whoa.
So.
Yeah, that's all right. People always ask me, how many kids are you going to have? I figure we've got an 8-passenger minivan, so we can't exceed that. You know, it's kind of like fish. You grow to the size of your aquarium. Our minivan's our aquarium. So no more than 6. That's the limit. Now, if you ask my wife, she'd like for fun right now, but she says that every kid. She said that after kid 1, but I'm pretty charming, so we'll see.
Nice. The powers of Roofie. So you a lot of the stuff that you do is pictures. I really love a lot of the pictures that you post, because you know my girls are 15 and 12, so my girls are really out of that stage where they're you know, I saw a picture today. It was the workout picture of one of your daughters who had her hands on the push-up bars, and she was laying in between them, and you're like father, like daughter, and that's so true. You know, I mean, that was a great shot, man.
Yeah, they do. They love to. The 2 times a year I work out, they love to get in there. Their favorite thing they like to do pull-ups. They don't actually hold onto the bar. They just make me lift them up and down. After about 4 of those, I'm done.
Dude, I used to do tricep curls by holding their ankles and then lifting them over my shoulders and behind me, and I lift them up and down. I get nice tricep curls out of it.
That was until Child Services came.
Yeah.
Yes.
How many times did you drop them? That's the real
never. Matter. Never once, dude. I'm a strong motherfucker, man. I don't play games, and I'm not dropping a child. Although, well, and you may get this, you may get this, James. But when my daughter was, I guess about 2.5 or 3 months old, my ex-wife had gone to work, and Emily and I were sitting on the couch, and she's 15 now. Emily and I are sitting on the couch, and I was about to feed her, and she was on the boppy thing, whatever that round-looking U-shaped thing that goes around, whatever. She was laying on there, and I had leaned forward to get the bottle off of the table, and she lunged forward, hit her head on the coffee table, and landed flat on her face on the floor.
Oh.
Okay. So now as I'm not a single dad, I'm a dad, I'm home by myself, I have one child. What's the first thing I do? I call my mother. She's a nurse. My mother's like, she's fine. She comes over, she looks at her, we check everything out. That afternoon, my daughter and I went to a wonderful shopping trip to the Gap where we bought a new hat so that my ex-wife would not see the bruise that had grown on her forehead. The hat lasted for about 12 seconds in the back of the car. My ex-wife got in the car and was very happy to see that bruise. So we have fun little things with that. So, James, so go ahead.
How'd you get the name Exploding Unicorn, which I love?
For a long time ago, back in high school, I did the logical thing in class and started writing a fake book of the Bible. You know, clearly I was paying attention to whatever I was supposed to be doing. And I don't remember. I wrote some random entries and emailed them to people. Well, one of them was about unicorns and what do unicorns do? Well, apparently they explode because they're filled with hydrogen. So it was just a random email I sent many, many years ago. And then years later, when I was searching for a name for the blog that kind of started it all, I thought, well, you know, what's the point in creating something new? Let's just plagiarize myself. So I went back to that.
I have the stereotypical, like, you know, the random ingredient that everybody tries to use to impress people, and it's always unicorn tears, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's plenty of those around here. I don't know if you guys heard it a minute ago. My toddler actually ran up against the door screaming. My wife had to grab her and drag her away. So it's we'll see if we make it through this podcast without somebody breaking through the door.
Dude, they should totally. Nice. You should let them in. You should let them in so people can see what it's like to have four kids.
Just screaming in sadness.
Seriously.
Nobody will ever have kids again.
And now what do you have? What's the mix over there?
All girls. All the way down.
Dude, it's awesome.
Yeah, you know what? It's cheaper. You got all the girl clothes in place already. My wife buys them all matching dresses, but there are times you really feel outnumbered. Because, you know, like, when they're little, they're kind of androgynous. You can make them play with dinosaurs and Star Wars. But then I went to a wedding one day, and I was ready in like 30 seconds. And I walked up into the bathroom, and there were five dresses hanging up and five girls trying to get ready. I was like, holy cow, this is my life now. I am so outnumbered. So that's just going to be a thing. I'm dreading the teenage years. That's for sure.
Dude, that's right. Dude, I have two girls and I'll tell you what, and as a father, you know, I can get serious here for a second or not, but I think that first off, I absolutely adore having girls. I love having girls. There's something about it. You know, last night I was laying in bed, you know, and both of them on either side, we have an end of a day at the end of our weekend where we just kind of sit and we talk and we kind of recap the weekend and all that stuff. And it's so funny how it's changed from the years, you know, going in. I mean, they were happy before because they had ice cream at the end of the day. You know, my daughter, who's 15 now, she's like, oh, well, Will and I had a really good conversation. Will's her boyfriend. Uh-oh. So it's kind of funny to watch how that happens. And then obviously as the, you know, as the female things start to happen, as we move forward, it becomes a different world. So you've got it four times, my brother.
We did the math. I think I'm going to have all four of them teenagers at once. I think when the top one's 18, the bottom one will be 13. And that'll be an experience.
Oh, man. Then there's guys like me that you're going to have to worry about.
Yeah, it's guys like everybody. Like, being a father of girls, I mean, like, you know how guys think. And it's just terrifying. I mean, I finally understand, like, going back in time and looking at my father-in-law now and the way he treated me when I met him for the first time, it's like, I get it. You made the right call.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, you know what's funny is my daughter is 15 and she has a boyfriend, and his parents are strict as shit, dude.
Oh, really?
Like, I had to go and meet the parents one night.
Oh.
Like, they had me, like, my daughter had said, hey, dad, you know, can you come over? Can you meet so-and-so? They want to meet you. And I was like, but you're like 15, man. You're not, they're not 21.
They meet you and they immediately make their son break up with your daughter.
Well, I mean, and Russell, and you know what's really funny, dude, is it was the day that I took my daughter and my niece and my nephew and everybody four wheeling. So I was spent, dude. I was muddy. I was dirty. The Jeep had just mud all over it when I pulled up front. And I walked in and I had a pair of flip flops on, like a pair of like joggers on and a T-shirt. My daughter's boyfriend's father had come out, and he's in politics and all that stuff, and he's like well dressed in the whole nine yards. It was just pretty funny because he's like, I said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm so casual. He's like, oh, I'm pretty casual too. And I was like, damn, no, we're not casual in the same way. You have like loafers and a plaid shirt on and a belt, and I've got sweatpants.
So, maybe they were huge fans of yours, and they were just requesting the meeting that way, using the sun as the leverage.
People don't like me, Russell. I don't have fans. Not like you do, dude. Not like you. I get recognized in the grocery store. Okay, you get recognized at like Home Depot. When you get recognized at Home Depot, shit's real.
That means something. That means something to people.
It does. I mean, you know what's funny though, Russell, is that James is probably more famous than both of us.
I'm going to disagree with you on that one quite strongly. Never. The most famous, my one brush with fame, you know, my avatar, it's me eating Jell-O. And it's, I wrote an article a long time ago about my grandmother. I'll make this story brief. Basically, she made Jell-O one time, and I said something in passing like that was good Jell-O. I don't know, what do you say when your grandma makes Jell-O? And she took that to mean it's the greatest food on earth. And so she just makes me more Jell-O every time I go back. And if I eat it all, that means I have to, you know, didn't make enough. So it's just an ever-expanding quantity of Jell-O.
Jell-O.
So I wrote about this, and it got picked up by Reader's Digest. And they were, it was some completely unrelated thing, like how people show love. And like the other stories were like people donating organs to other people, like serious real stuff. And I was guy who eats Jell-O. And so like, we're going to send some photographers out from New York. I'm like, what? And so photographers came in for 3 hours and took pictures of me eating that Jell-O over and over again. And like when I opened the door for them to be there, it was these two New York photographers and like one lady from the local bakery. And she's like, are you the guy? It's like, yeah, I'm the guy who eats Jell-O right here. And that was probably the closest I've been to somebody being impressed by my fame. And that's
surprised Jell-O didn't come along and try to sponsor you.
I will sell out for anything. If Jell-O offered me money, I would eat Jell-O all the time. No question.
Well, I think they're in the market. I think their last spokesman's not doing so well, right?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not going to promise a real high bar for success, but I can do better than that.
As long as right now, if you think about the two spokespeople that we truly know, like that have really been rock stars, we're talking about Bill Cosby and Jared.
Jared.
Okay.
I'm right by Indianapolis, so I he's our hometown guy. He was, I don't know, it's sad when your hometown hero is the guy who eats Subway sandwiches, but he was our person, and yeah, that, he probably, his house is probably 15 miles from where I am right now. He's not a real popular guy.
and they did some creepy shit for spokesmen.
Yeah, it, like looking back, like everything that seemed like kind of awkward then, like just seems super creepy now. I mean, it just... And, you know, there's cardboard cutouts of him floating around all over. It just, yeah. It's
one of those things. Middle schools.
Yeah, exactly. and again, I think of all the spokesmen they could have picked, they picked, you know, the child molester. You know, there's got to be literally 300 million better candidates in America. So.
Yeah, but dude, think about Bill Cosby, though. Imagine you spent, I mean, he was their spokesperson for what, 20 years?
Was he still doing it though when this whole thing came down, or was he kind of out of the game? I got to admit, I don't keep up real high on the breaking Jell-O developments, but I feel like you totally should.
Like a retired
Jell-O ambassador at that point. So
I think these like date back to where he was still popping pudding pops and shit.
Well, no, yeah, they did, but pudding I mean, pops. At the same time, they got, you know, 30 years of advertising out of him, and then it all went south. Like Jared was like still their point man. I read somewhere that they think he like increased their business by like 30% overall, just his story. And it's like, okay, we gotta backtrack on that one pretty hard.
Yeah. Well, that's even creepier because he's going to events and like whispering things to people about little girls and shit. That's pretty weird.
crazy thing is he's appealing his sentence now. He like pleads guilty to it. And then he appeals pleading guilty. Like, how do you do that? You just need a do-over? Like, I thought I was guilty, but I'm not as guilty as I thought. Why don't you give me a lesser sentence? I don't understand it, but... That's why I'm a lawyer.
Prison was going to be a little different.
Not up to my standards. Two chars.
So what else do you do? Do you have a job as well? Yeah, other
I
than
have a I have a boring day job in a cubicle. Yeah, that's why I'm on so late tonight. So I just I try to keep them separate. They don't know at my job what I do in my off time. And sometimes when I'm there,
so you're like a superhero,
dude. That's the best.
Exactly. They think, you know, I just sit there on my phone and they think I'm doing nothing. And really, I'm doing nothing in front of a large audience. So slightly different.
That's the best.
And I dream of the day, like someday when I'm like, you know, so successful on Twitter, I can fully support myself. And I'll just storm on there and be like, I'm at Exploding Unicorn and I quit. And everyone will just shrug. Be like, oh, okay, that was my dramatic moment blown.
Let me ask you a question, though, because we just like gave your identity away.
Yeah, you're getting a comic book drawn.
You know, to full disclosure, James Breakwell is my pen name. It's what I do.
Ever. Awesome! Oh, it's the greatest thing I've ever heard.
When I introduced myself, I told a lie. Like, we're off on the wrong foot here. But my real name is like super common. If I told you who I really
so
am,
cool.
You would be
John
like,
Smith.
Oh, it's you. I'd just be another nobody.
John
so
Smith,
I
love it.
I just feel like the guy that ripped off a mask and then there's another mask underneath.
Yes,
it.
So do I.
That's exactly what just happened. And you know, it's weird because. I've got on, you know, I was in Reader's Digest as a circulation of 5 million people. I thought, oh, this is it. I'm going to get busted. Now I have to come clean. Nobody noticed. I was on CNN Headline News. They had this social media show that nobody watched. And I was on that 3 times. Like, I left work in the middle of the day to go be on. This is the time I'm going to get caught. Went on under there, showed my face. And I didn't. And I think it's just because if you look at me, like, I'm the most generic looking white guy there is. Like, I could commit a crime and they'd put my picture up on the TV and I would just never get caught because I look like half of America. So I'm going to take advantage of that for as long as I can.
Dude, the fact that you have a different name is the greatest thing ever right now.
I got a little bit of a strategy for a career plan, okay?
All right,
but,
go for it.
I mean, it might be a total 180. Get a Daft Punk mask, start DJing and tweeting.
Yeah.
Explosive Unicorn. I'm telling you.
Unicorn.
Yeah, any public appearance now.
other than the lack of musical talent, that's a great plan.
Yeah, but dude, you're a DJ. Paris Hilton's a DJ, for God's sakes.
Yeah. Well, there needs to be a blog. There needs to be an anonymous blogger that still does public appearances, and that's the only way you can do it.
Yeah.
A mask.
Yeah, that would be that's the best.
I could do that. I have to be one of those really minimalist Zorro masks so you can still completely see who I am, but I think I'm hidden. I could do that. I could pull off a mask. Like, in general, the less of me you see, the better off you are. So I think that would probably help my appeal quite a bit.
So how did you get such a huge following, you know, sitting in a cubicle and just rocking Twitter?
And having sex as much as you do.
Yeah, well, at least 4 times confirmed. Yeah. We're wasting way too much time.
Do you just always have your penis out? Is that the
thing? You know, honestly, and this is going to be too much information, but every time our first 3 kids are exactly 2 years apart. I mean, this is like precision planning. The first 2 are 2 years and a day apart. The next 2 are 2 years and a week. Now, the fourth one is she's like a year and a half. Okay, we kind of got off track there, but. Like every time we've said, let's try to have a kid, like, boom, pregnant instantly. Which, like, I know people say, you know, it's really emotionally trying, you know, if you can't have a kid and you're unsuccessful, like, come on, you know, maybe just a few months it doesn't work and you have to keep trying all the time. But no, it's one shot, one kill, and we're good to go. Anyway, what was the other question?
One shot, one kill.
You're like an assassin of fathers. Just.
Apparently, yeah. It's a.
So, yeah. Dude, that's crazy.
And the awkward silence falls.
Yeah, because we don't even know where to go with that when it's Russell and I are just quiet. And I'm a dad.
My ass off.
So I want to talk to you about the fat Jewish.
Oh, that one. Were you around for that when that happened?
So that was in June. I didn't find you until, I guess, October, maybe, give or take.
Okay.
So yeah, so I mean, I didn't get much of that, but I just kind of caught some of your pictures with it when I was going through a bunch of stuff today. So what was that about? Because I heard about stuff like this in June.
I took a picture of my fridge. Like I wrote a joke in in magnets on my fridge, and it was I said, well, I had a fight with my wife entirely in fridge magnets, and the first line was. Go get milk, and the response was no, fuck you, which doesn't sound like super witty, but you know, an innocent shot, you know, magnets on the fridge, it's not the worst I've ever done. So I post a picture of it, and you know, it does okay, but then him and his giant account, like all of a sudden it pops up on there. And I'm pretty, and he said he attributed it to somebody else, to some like minor private account that nobody could check. So I'm pretty sure it was just one of his side fake accounts. But he takes my picture of my fridge from my kitchen and just posts it on his feed with what is 4 million followers. And it takes off. It gets like 30,000 likes in the first hour. It was just, it was sickening. And I went after him. I decided to test the power of social media. I said, I'm not on Instagram, but anybody who is, you know, go tell this guy to take it down. And afterwards, I think people tried to play off, oh, he didn't know or he took it down. But for hours, everybody who posted, hey, that's stolen, he deleted it. So, I mean, he knew full well the whole time.
Right.
And it was, and so he did that for a long time. And finally, I thought, this isn't working on Instagram. So I went after him on Twitter, and I went and talked to all my friends in the comedy circles on there, and we got everybody riled up. And we actually shamed him into taking the picture down, which is... Good. Which is a quite an accomplishment, because really, I mean, it's in social media, it's all about size. Pretty much, if you're bigger, you're right, and you can't really do anything about
it. Truth.
So that
was, I just had a conversation with somebody the other day. Said something to the effect of, "You tweet too much. You should back off or whatever. You're annoying my feed." And I said, "Well, do me a favor and go and call the 12 other people that follow you and ask them how they feel about my tweets. I'll check my 20,000+. You check your, you know, 12." And then it just started. Then some guy's like, well, I have 59. Am I okay there? You know, I mean, it just kind of started the little fun with that. But, yeah, it's pretty funny, dude, because I used to get in trouble even with my publicist and whatnot about the fact that I reply to people.
Yeah.
You know, I don't sit back. I hate to say it. And now everybody's going to go on there and start calling me names and all the other shit. Great. Go for it. But I reply to people, man. And I reply to everybody. And I do it myself. And Russell's a self-social media guy as well. We do all of our social media ourselves. You know, the podcast is a little bit different. We have a branding company that we do stuff with. But we discuss the content. But Russell and I still do all of our own social media. Yeah. So it's a big deal, man.
But unless it's negative. If it's negative, they're trying to start some bullshit.
No, I fucking go after him, Russell. Fuck him.
Yeah, I know. I've seen you go after him. You're like, you just fucking go after him. I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah, but the funny part is then they come back and they say, oh, well, I was just checking to see if you were like, you know, an account that somebody else took care of it or whatever it was. So it's pretty funny.
Yeah, and the trolls, they never go away. It doesn't matter if you have 100 followers or 1,000 followers. Or, I mean, it never goes away. There will always be people who say, you know, you tweet too much or you shouldn't do this. My favorite is, you know, Twitter's a free medium. Like, if you don't like a joke, you can just hit the unfollow button and move on with your life. And, like, that's a concept that people just don't understand. Like, they come after you with, like, real anger. Like, hey, that joke wasn't funny. What's your deal?
Yeah.
I don't owe you anything. You don't pay me. I'm doing this in my free time when I should be doing my real job.
Yeah.
And so I just, you know, I've tried fighting with people, and it tends to just bring out other people, get them all riled up. So I've taken the lazy approach. I just block everyone for everything. Like, I know, like, real celebrities are supposed to have broad shoulders and just take it and ignore it. I just block everybody. It's like, I don't make enough money to justify this. You're gone.
That's so funny, dude. Now I go after him.
There was a guy on my Facebook fan page for quite a while there was sending me a message every morning, a private message, pretty much telling me to go fuck myself and how much of a piece of shit I was. It was kind of nice, actually. When he quit doing it, I started feeling like I had lost something.
You know, you see the response to that, Russell, is you should actually fuck yourself.
Yeah. That's a special level of hate, though, because usually, like, trolls, they're going for attention. They go after somebody big. But, like, if he sends you a private message, like, he doesn't even want attention. He just wants you to personally know that he hates you.
Oh, yeah. It's a definite hatred. It's a definite hatred. Yeah.
You know, I had one guy create an account, like a fake account of me with my head turned upside down. And he wrote, like, he took, like, every one of my tweets and just shit on them. Like, this was his, it was like hours a day he was devoting to this. And it all started, of all things, like, about a Nickelback tweet. Like, Nickelback's one of those things, like, I don't have an opinion on Nickelback, but it's just kind of the punchline for everybody on Twitter. If you're going to do a joke about a bad band, you put Nickelback in there. So I did my joke, and the next day I have this guy tweeting like 60 times a day about what an awful person I am. I'm like, okay, then. Apparently Nickelback fans are pretty passionate. Lesson learned.
I didn't know that, so you hashtag Nickelback.
Yeah, you got to be careful, man. There are certain topics you can't touch on. It's still okay to joke about Nickelback. Just be ready for some crazy. But yeah, you don't
really. I'm totally tweeting you something about Nickelback as we're talking right now, and I'm actually going to involve you too.
So apparently, Hooters is a is a soft topic for certain people,
seriously,
right?
Seriously. Yeah. We had a conversation about Hooters last week, and we were discussing the fact that that the Hooters girls have kind of changed a little bit, and that it wasn't, you know, and we had a guy named Josh Denny on, which I'm not sure if you follow him or not, but Josh is a comedian. He lives in L.A., and he had a great thing. He's like, you know, I went to a Hooters in so-and-so when I was down there, and he said, I walked in, and it was like a whole bunch of flat-chested. It was like a bunch of 14-year-old Asian boys working behind the thing, talking about how the girls have all left Hooters and the other stuff. So we had a conversation about that, and I had actually a pretty good follower of ours who reached out to me to let me know that she was very disappointed in the conversation, that it was sickening to her, that, and it sucked because she's a really cool chick, and I like her. She's a very, very nice girl. But you know, look, this is a show, and we do this show, and we talk, freely. I'm not responsible to really anybody, you know? So I say what I think, and Russell says what he thinks, and I'm not going to hold back. I think that the Hooters chain, you know, hey, who knows? You know what you're getting into if you go to work there.
you touched on a really important topic there right now. Not so much Hooters, but the blowback from the political correctness right now. It's really kind of a touchy time to be doing comedy anywhere, and it's especially just the last couple of years. You have to be really careful if you do any jokes about gender. There are some jokes, like I'm Catholic. I do Catholic jokes all the time, and all people, you know, some people get really mad about Catholic jokes. But you know, if you're Catholic, you can do it. Kind of like if you're in a wheelchair, you can do wheelchair jokes. You can't do wheelchair jokes if you're not in a wheelchair. Can't do Muslim jokes at all. I mean, there are just certain things that if you touch, like Twitter will turn against you, like an angry mob, and tear you apart. And like, you know, I've got four girls. So like part of my comedy is going to be gender based. The differences between boys and girls and that kind of stuff. And there's just no way around that. And if you're going to, you know, you're going to lash out at me for that, you really just need to move on. It's what I've got. It's the lot I've got. There's got to be some payoff for having four girls, and it's going to be the comedy. So I'm just going to have to deal with that one.
Yeah. Look, here's my whole thing. If you don't like it, then go away.
Exactly.
And I really do, because I you know, I mean, James, fake name guy, and Russell, I know, feels the same way. Like, I really do enjoy my fans. I enjoy the people that follow us, and I don't really call them fans at all. I mean, we're all, like, I hate to say it, but, like, I feel like I know some of these people. You know, they're the people that are on our show that are follow us, and they retweet and they talk and they do all the other stuff. And I really, truly enjoy talking to these people. I have private messages with some of these people. You know, if I let people know that I'm going to a town because I really want to meet you. You know, I genuinely want to have a beer with you. And I think that that's cool as shit that we can do that.
If somebody he sells them his underwear.
Dude, different price lines, we got duffified, fluffified underwear. This shit happens.
Everybody's that.
You should, dude. You should. Nah, I'm so not touching this conversation.
By the way, if you want to buy per episode the underwear that Duffy is wearing, please place the bids online.
No, dude.
I pay you to not deliver them to them.
No, totally free balling right now. So there's no undies rolling. I got Lululemon sweatpants on. Everybody's happy. That's what's going on. And guess who just FaceTimed me, Russell?
Who?
Kimmy Cocktail.
What's up, Kimmy Cocktail?
It's Kimmy, say hi.
Hi.
We're talking to Exploding Unicorn. He's a Twitter comedian who's funny as shit, who's got four girls. So all right, go do margaritas, because we're stepping away. We're taking away from the potency of our guest. I'll talk to you later.
All right, bye.
So
I have a
question. And hold on, Russell. Russell, yeah. Hold on. And James, fake name guy. I met Kimmy Cocktail on Twitter.
Oh,
so
really?
There you go. Yeah, now she's got my digits, and she's FaceTiming me in the middle of a show.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
My new distractions from work all the time. Yeah, yep. It's actually a great way to – I had a writing partner I work with quite a bit now. We haven't sold anything, but I met him on Twitter. Like, I've met all kinds of professional contacts, sold articles. I mean, pretty much my entire career is through Twitter. So it's a giant waste of time, and my wife always frowns at me and stuff. But now that I've actually started to get stuff from it, it's like, okay. So that's really the biggest thing. Like, when I finally get something paid off Twitter, it's not so much the money – it's just the fact that my wife has to leave me alone for one or two days.
Hold on.
It buys me a little bit of heat.
Do you get money from Twitter?
No, that's what I wanted to talk about, was because I think it's so cool. And I want to see if you had monetized it, because to me, doing a job like this and developing something, once you start supporting yourself, you can travel around and do this as long as you have Wi-Fi and a computer.
Yeah, it's and that would be awesome. That'd be awesome just not going to work and just, you know, mess around on your phone all day and get paid for it. But it's the income's inconsistent. Probably the most common way I get paid is just articles, different, like the Federalist contacted me through through Twitter. Reader's Digest first got in touch with me through Twitter. People, and I put on there, you know, hire me to write. Just I want to sound as desperate as possible. And so every once in a while, they'll reach out and I'll write an article for somebody. People see that I have a big account and they'll be like, hey, help me, you know, write jokes for me or help me build up my account. So I do that some. And then the best way just to be a total sellout is just to post ads. And I wondered at first, like, if I do this, is everybody going to leave me? But I think I've been enough of a sellout from the start that people just expected it. Like, there was no integrity there to lose. So when the ads started coming, they're like, well, yeah, that's kind of what we expected all along. So, like, Super Bowl, I was promoting the heck out of that Kia commercial, that Christopher Walken commercial before I even saw it. I don't care what it says. If you pay me, I'll promote it. That's no problem. And actually, I got lucky. It actually was a pretty funny commercial. But had it not been a funny commercial, I would have said the same things. No question. No question.
That's great. That's great. Well, dude, I'm literally scrolling through your stuff as we're talking, and I actually had my microphone on mute for a little while because I'm just laughing. I mean, it's some of the stuff is really classic. So you know, power and kudos go out to you, my friend, for doing that. This my buddy beat me in fantasy football. I'm mailing him the trophy right now. Good thing I'm not bitter. And Russell, just so you know, it's a picture of a trophy in a box with about 4 pounds of glitter all over it.
That's probably accurate. I dropped $20 on glitter for that thing.
Absolutely, it was, and it was totally worth it.
I had to wrap it outside, and I wrapped it in tape in a layer, and I thought it was safe to bring inside. Got glitter everywhere. I had to take it back outside, put another layer on it. So yeah, that guy's going to have glitter in his house forever. I regret nothing.
And anybody who has boys they don't understand this part of glitter. But I have, like, you know, my girls were Justice fanatics across the board, and I actually took my daughter to New York 2 weekends ago, and her best friend came along with us, and she had a bag that was silver glitter that was all over every one of us, and everywhere.
It really affects guys more because I think we're just sweaty and unhygienic in general. So it will stick to you forever. Oh, There's just no getting it off. You can use water. You can use fire. No, it will be there long after you are a skeleton on the ground. There will be still just litter clinging to your bones.
I have. Okay. So I'm out in Russell. You're going to laugh at this. I'm out in Rockford, Illinois about a year and a half ago working with clients. These great guys, they have a place called Arrow out there. It's a gastro pub. It's beautiful. They do an awesome job. So when I go out there, I kind of let loose a little while because the owner of the business has become a good friend of mine, and his name's Matt. So Matt and I go out one night, and we hit a bunch of bars, and when I start to get a little banged up, I start to take the labels off of the bottles of beer. So I was taking my Budweiser label off the whole night, and I kept like putting them on Matt, like sticking them on him the whole nine yards. He gets home and he wakes up in the morning, and his wife gives him a wrath of shit because she's like, "If you're going to go to the strip club, just tell me you're going to the strip club." Because it looked like glitter that was all over his clothes. So she totally thought that we went to the strip club. To this day, she does not believe that we didn't go to the strip club.
Really?
So, and I was just ripping the labels off of the Budweiser. It was pretty classic.
Like,
yeah.
Sounds like he should have gone to a strip club. He got yelled at for it anyway. That's what I said. Yelled at any strip club. We got the worst of both worlds.
I'm like, dude, next time we're going out, we're going to go to the strip club and just get glitter. Somebody peeing? Somebody paid.
And that's why every beer bottle needs to not have glitter
exactly
or foil on there.
Or, you know, you could just not peel off the label. I've never had a glitter problem with Budweiser.
The new bottles. I'm not going to go into my whole love of Budweiser because I don't drink beer anymore. But you know,
I'm on the same page. I use Budweiser as a punchline too because everybody online hates it. But the truth is, it's my favorite of the. It's the king of the cheap beers. If you just want to get drunk fast. You're not, you know, looking for something fancy or craft beer. Bud Light's the way to go.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a huge fan, man. I'm a big fan of it. And
they're not even paying me. Maybe they will, but they don't pay me.
Dude, I did the label. I recited the label verbatim and didn't get anything for it.
Is that like the ingredients and
this
stuff?
Is the famous Budweiser beer we know of no other brand produced by any other brewery. Our exclusive brewery. Oh, I screwed it up. This is the, man.
That's why.
Yeah, we have to do another episode. Don't mark this one. You messed it up.
I'm done. I messed it up, so I'm going to have to do it on the next one. Now I feel bad because I'm not redeeming myself. But so are you a big drinker? Are you an eater? What's your deal?
I'll take whatever advice I can get. I do like to drink, but you know, with four kids in the house, I don't drink as much as I used to, obviously. Yeah. So
what did you drink?
Beer mostly. I'm trying to work it up. Like, one of my life goals, I have terrible life goals, is just to become a whiskey drinker. It seems like it takes less effort to get drunk fast, so I want to build up to that, but I've never quite got the taste down. And the last time I got really drunk on it, I was... See, my big drinking night now, this is what your life is when you're a dad. I get on Xbox Live and play with my friends one night a week, and we just get drunk and play Halo. And one night I decided to do that with whiskey, and I fell asleep on the couch and then woke up in the middle of the night and threw up everywhere. So it was a setback, but I almost redeemed myself. So the wife and kids are all asleep upstairs. I throw up all over the couch. I'm like, I can fix this. I can do this. Uh-oh. So I go, and I get the couch cleaned up. And I shake stuff outside, and I get the Febreze, and I threw up on the controller, clean up the controller. I mean, it's good as new. Go upstairs, throw everything in the laundry, go to bed. I mean, I had to, like, I did a load of, like the cushions. Like, you take the cover off the cushion. I didn't even know that came off. Like, I'm like, you know, like James Bond here. I get everything back in place. Wake up. My wife's like, so why were you running the washing machine? And it's like, okay, so in all of our years of marriage, I've never run the washing machine. I had no cover story. My whole thing was blown. I fell apart right then.
See, you could have easily just blamed it on the kids, though.
I was going to
say. I mean, with the exception of the smell of whiskey.
Yeah, that would have been the deal breaker. Also, the fact that it happened at like 3 a.m. Like, she went to bed and the couch was vomit free. Then there's vomit, you know. It's just, there's a lot of red flags there. So,
do you and your wife get? Do you guys have an opportunity to get out at all?
No, we don't. We don't get out a ton. But I mean, it's not like we're here slaving away with the kids. I mean, we both work full time. So I mean, like 90% of the time, someone else is raising our children. So I feel slightly guilty not spending time with them. So we stay home more often than not. Or when we go out places, we go places that we can take them because, you know, I'm cheap.
Right.
And then, you know, usually I'll try to have a few beers here and there, because the advantage of having her perpetually pregnant is I always have a designated driver. So it really works out for the best.
Perpetually pregnant? Is that what you said?
I don't know if those are the words I use, but that might be almost accurate. The good thing is she's not going to listen to this podcast, so I think I'm safe unless I talk too loud. She can hear the door.
So what do you do at your real job?
Oh, I don't want to get fired. I can't go that far. But I'm in a cubicle. I'm just I'm brave, but I'm not that brave. But I mean, I it's nothing exciting. I just sit there. Well, a lot of what I do is I play on my phone when I should be working. Like, they don't. The great thing about white collar work is nobody really has a clear idea of what you should be doing or how much of it you should be putting out. True. So I've kind of taken advantage of that. I've been in the same place for years. So over time, I've gotten faster and faster at my job, but my output has stayed exactly the same, because every day I just spend a little bit less time doing work and a little bit more time doing Twitter.
Dude,
one thing my boss hears. This will be the one that gets me fired here. Yeah. The line I finally cross.
I worked for, when I left restaurants, I left restaurants for 1 year, and then I did development for a company. And I'll tell you what the funniest part was, from going from being the boss to then I was an employee. Even though I was an employee who was creating products to make this company money, and I was roughly 6 to 9 months ahead of schedule. Okay, I came from 11 restaurants that I oversaw the food programs for all of them into an office and a kitchen lab where I had to create products. So I first get in and I've got all these great ideas. I roll out all these great ideas to the company. They absolutely love them. We start a whole new product line. They start producing this stuff. And then the guy said, hey, you just back off a little bit because you're moving too fast. Like, we need to be able to keep up and catch up on this. And long story short is I went from taking lunch at 12 o'clock every day to, by the time I finally left, I was leaving for lunch at 10 o'clock in the morning. Because I was fucking miserable, dude. It was horrific. Oh, wow. It was the worst thing in the world, having to drive into work and then sit in an office and then just sit there. That
you,
I got to
my life is the worst thing you can imagine. Like, my life is your version of hell. That's good to know.
Dude, I literally would sleep. I mean, I would put my feet up on the desk and sleep for like 3 or 4 hours.
See, that doesn't sound like hell. That sounds like a dream, man.
Well, that's because you have 4 kids. I mean, so the idea of sleep, I mean, that Saturday morning is just not the same, no matter what you do. But it was, I mean, I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I hated it. I absolutely hated it.
Well, now you've
I'm sorry.
Your dreams are crushed there. You've transitioned now with your bar rescue stuff. You guys actually crushed a dream of mine. I always thought in the back of my head it'd be really cool to own a bar someday or do that. And after watching you guys on there and John Taffer, like, I never want to own a bar. That seems like the worst thing in the world. You just go in and lose money and people get sick. And
but it's
so and not a good people get sick. Example, just every week is just problem after problem. Like, this is awful. I should not do this at all.
Well, but you know, it's like every bartender in the industry. They for the first, you know, few years of their career, they're like, we want to be a bar owner. And I think it was 7 or 8 years in my career where I was like, you know, I don't think I want to be a bar owner at all. Some of these people, even if they're successful, are the most miserable people there are.
It's the truth.
It's like, you think bar and you think fun, but like owning a bar is like the opposite of fun. Like, it's your job to be the one person there who doesn't have fun. Why would you want to be that guy?
You know,
I think that if you're getting the payoff, you should still be having fun in your own way. It's just not the same type of fun that everybody else is having.
Or, you know what, dude, Russ, you know how I was in Grand Rapids a couple weeks ago, and it's funny because I was talking to my buddy who's friends with the owner of this one really cool bar that we went to called Farah's. And he works his ass off all week long, and he has one night in the bar where he boozes. And that's the only night that he drinks, mm-hmm. which I hate to say it. You know what? If you're going to own a bar, then that would probably be the best way to do it. You have one night that you drink, all your friends come in, you know you can hang out, you know you can have a good time, but this guy the other six nights of the week is professional, he's dressed in uniform, he's bussing tables, he's collecting cash, he's helping waitresses. Like, I was really impressed with this guy.
Now, what night did he pick? Did he pick, like, I'm going to go get trashed on a Tuesday?
Saturday.
He did it on his big night.
No, I don't even know what night
it's
was.
It's actually on a day that they're closed. He just makes
He just invites his buddies in. Yeah. Puts football on that he taped the day before that he did a little DVR.
Every Monday morning at 8 a.m. I'm having my party here.
Exactly. I can watch the game. Yeah, exactly. Dude, there's some great bars out in that part of the world, man. I'm a big fan. I've got a friend out of mine who lives out in Indianapolis, and she has some fun out there. So I hear a lot about some good bars out there. So
yeah, I don't doubt it. You'll hate me. The main bar I go to is Buffalo Wild Wings. Every once in a while they have UFC fights, and it's like super late at night, so all the kids are in bed, and usually my wife's asleep too, so it's an excuse to sneak out. So that's the main one I've gone to.
Sneaking out to the BW3s.
Well, yeah. It's not really sneaking out. She doesn't really care what I do after she's asleep, which is how I do my Twitter stuff. I do it all day at work when I should be doing it working, and then, you know, I come home, I can count on everybody being asleep by 9, and then I kind of keep going. So it's I don't know what I would do if everybody in this house was awake all the time. My whole life would just fall apart.
Well, did you're a UFC fan?
Yeah, I haven't watched it as much lately here since we had the most recent baby. But yeah, I used to go out to the fights. And I don't know if I like the fights as much as the drinking or the wings, but together it's a good package.
Well, Clay Guida, the carpenter. He just texted me. So he's supposed to be on the show today. He's a buddy of mine. I spent some time with him in Cuba.
He used to be one of our favorite fighters to watch. We used to joke that he spent like 10 minutes practicing fighting and, you know, 90 minutes practicing cardio. Like, he went.
He's amazing. He's one. And not only that, he is one of the most gentle, nicest, kindest guys that I've pretty much ever come across.
That's awesome.
A really, really awesome dude. Just a really good guy. But yeah, he literally just texted me like 5 minutes ago. We're gonna be doing an episode with him in the next couple of weeks. So
have you ever offered to fight him just to see?
No, but I did watch him. I was when we were down in Cuba, we were down there with a band. I talked about this before. We're down there with a band, and we're down there with another comedian named Justin Willman, who is you guys have probably all seen it, his wedding where he. Levitated himself at his wedding. It was really cool. It got picked up pretty far. He's also the host of the show Cupcake Wars. But Justin's a pretty good dude. But I was watching him give Justin Willman and a couple of skaters, bike guys from the Vans BMX team, episode on how to do full Nelsons.
Oh, really?
So he was giving them like full on lessons on how to do full Nelsons. It was pretty cool. So
he's got to be the most dangerous kind of fighter like ever. Like, just so who you'd run into in a bar. Cause like you run into like a heavyweight or one of the big guys, you have the natural reaction. I'm not going to mess with him, but he's like a smaller guy. And, you know, I can see some drunk guy be like, well, I can take him. He's little. And then Guida would just kill you. I mean,
I don't know him that well. It's not like I'm saying he's like a great buddy of mine. He's a good friend. He's a friend, and he's a really good dude. And we have a nice kind of friendship. Where, you know, every now and then we text each other. I'm not saying like I hang out with him, I go to Christmas parties with him, but he will walk away from something.
Oh, really?
Because because he knows. I think, you know, I mean, he can do some serious damage, dude. Yeah. I mean, he can do some damage. I've seen his fights. He does not play games. And he actually coaches wrestling. He's got a camp that he does this this stuff on. He's a really, really super cool guy. And honestly, just from the little that I know about him, I can probably say that he would walk away from something much faster than he would. Now, if there was a buddy or something involved, I can't guarantee. But mm-hmm. I can say with pretty much certainty that he would walk away. Well, uncertainty, certainty, you're a writer. Now I'm thinking. Well,
you're sure of it.
Yeah, I'm positive.
That's I think that's he'd walk what you gotta away. Do if you wanna have a career. I mean, you can't be getting arrested for killing people in bar fights. I don't doubt that he would walk away. I just think in a hypothetical situation, he probably has more people trying to start stuff.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
Than other people.
It's like what happens to Russell when they find out that Russell gave their girlfriend a belt buckle.
Yeah, but everybody knows I have one move where I just a swift strike to your throat and rip out your throat.
With the belt buckle?
No. It's if you touch my belt buckle. That's why people don't touch it. Yeah. That's why only I'm allowed to take it off unless the doors are closed.
Unless the doors are closed. Yeah.
But it's a roadhouse straight swift strike to the throat. Come back with your trachea. It's not even a fight.
I think I would be the guy to I'd reach over the bar and grab a bottle of whiskey and like break it on the bar. I think I would be that guy. And then I'd probably cut myself and I'd be wearing flip flops or something and step in the glass and end up on the floor crying. So
I'm the guy that hops on top of the bar and then just tackles everybody.
Oh,
I'd be the guy who just slowly backs away. I can't imagine what say to make me fight. Like, oh, you're a coward, you're a pussy. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're probably right. I'm gonna go now.
You're backing away and being like, I got four kids. Yeah.
Time for me to roll. Wow, that's awesome.
I wasn't even supposed to be at Buffalo Wild Wings tonight.
Oh shit. Well, James, I know you've got family and you've got obligations that you've got to take care of at home and I really want to thank you for hopping on with us, man. It was such a pleasure to talk to you and get some insight into your world.
Thanks for having me. I had a blast. Man.
And give us some of your 212,000 Twitter followers. Jesus.
No problem.
Yeah, man. Let us know. Absolutely. Do I buy them from you? How does that game work? I'm not quite sure.
I'll retweet this podcast and I'll give you guys shout outs. We'll get you some followers.
I love it.
Can we trade them in a poker game? Can we do an online
obviously,
poker game
like,
of
you know,
Twitter followers?
You own them. That's what a follower is.
So can you do us a favor and let us know exactly how we can get in touch with you and all that good stuff?
Well, I am, I'm James Breakwell. I am at Exploding Unicorn on Twitter. That's Exploding Unicorn without the E. They wouldn't let me fit it in. And that's probably the best way to reach me there is on Twitter. I read every single @, even the ones that hate me, because I am a glutton for punishment.
Absolutely. Beautiful. Awesome. All right. Well, hey, James, thanks thank you so much. James, fake name, man. We appreciate your time. And go and do me a favor. Don't make any babies tonight. Just practice.
Just because you asked.
Thanks, brother.
All right. Catch you later.
See you, dude. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for hanging out with us this week. This is the Road Rash Podcast with me, Chef Pryduff, and Mr. Russell Davis. Don't forget to check us out on Twitter and Instagram as well. That's Chef Pryduff and Mr. Russell Davis. That's 2 R's, 2 S's, and 2 L's in my boy's name. But thank you guys for hanging out. We had an awesome conversation with Mr. James Breakwell, the Exploding Unicorn. I hope you guys liked it as much as we did. We know it was super, super fast, but I don't know if you guys can hear it in the background. Right now I'm at the nightclub and bar show in Vegas. Russell and I have had a crazy couple of days trying to get some stuff done. We're doing sessions and seminars and forums and just talking to people and having a great time. You guys have to get an opportunity. If you have the opportunity, definitely get down to nightclub and bar next year. It's usually the first or second week in March. It's a super, super cool time to do it. So many awesome things to see here. Definitely get down here. All right. So again, Road Rash Pod, we are so glad you guys are out there. Don't forget to get on Instagram and don't forget to get on iTunes and Audioboom. Give us some good reviews. We want to hear what you guys have to say. Check it all out, all right? Guys, thank you so much for listening. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.
We are going on a road trip.
Who's with me?
Woo! Can you dig it?
We're on a mission from God.
Can you dig it?
Take me across the threshold.
Can you dig it?